Look, I'm really sorry about that. I just, I saw how aggressive you were being, and I thought, wow, I gotta go even bigger than that since we're doing bad cop, bad cop.
What? No, I said good cop, bad cop. I'm the bad cop, you're the good cop.
Okay, then there it is. That's it. I thought you said bad cop, bad cop.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another week of Muskies on Tap. Here tonight, we just got the Mott crew. Weren't able to get a guest. It was very last minute, but that's all right. We'll still get the guests rolling here this fall and of course, rolling into the winter. But with that being said, we are going to do a lot of Q&A here tonight. You guys asked a bunch of good questions. We're going to go over as many as we can. We're going to talk about some fall fishing, what's going on, in the North Woods, you know, turnover, sucker fishing, all that good stuff. So let's introduce Max, my brother Max. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Yeah. As always, we appreciate every one of you guys for tuning in each and every single week. Unfortunately, we had to reschedule a guest here this week. You know, I had a nice guest lined up for you guys. You're just kind of stuck with us three. So hopefully we can make up for it. You know, with Gus guiding still full time, even late into the season, Brian and I's work schedule getting a little more hectic here. It's just, it's kind of been a nightmare for podcast scheduling, but, you know, we'll hopefully, like I said, make up for it here this evening with some fun Q&A questions. You guys asked a lot of good ones, a lot of questions rolled in here. Our social media manager, Brian, over there had his hands full the amount of questions that that got asked. So actually, without further ado, then let me just introduce our third co-host here. None other than one Mr. Brian Eckel. Brian, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing great, guys. Happy to be here tonight. Looking forward here in just a little over a week, getting back on the boat with you guys, doing a little muskie fishing. It's been a while, been a little brief hiatus here. Glad to be catching it. Hopefully fully post-turnover and not in this weird phase that it seems to be in right now. Looking to add one more giant to the net for all of us this year, that weekend. But yeah, doing a lot of Q&A tonight. Got a boatload of questions. We're trying to pick through them all. If you guys want, we can just dive right in. I got one to kind of ease us in, and then we got a lot more technical questions that Gus can kind of dive into as we go.
Sure. I got one thing before we start, and I don't know if you guys have anything cracked open, but on a recent trip, I was fortunate to take out some podcast listeners out on the boat. Had a really fun day, and they said we haven't really tapped in much with what we're tapping in. A lot of musky talk, not a lot of tapping in talk. So I don't know if you guys got anything cracked open. They were very, very nice enough to give me a six pack after the trip of Hillsborough Brewing Company. Blonde walks into a bar, blonde ale, and this thing is tasty. I gotta admit, very good. They're down in Hillsbury, Wisconsin.
People must have not heard of Sober October that where you are participating in.
Interesting. I didn't get word of this. What is it, October 16th?
I'm a little behind. Just kidding. I'm not very good at those trends.
Only like alcoholics participate in. Got to designate a month to be sober.
Let the body heal a little bit.
Jesus. I had a few post work beers. Went back to the old stable, Lagunitas IPA tonight.
Ooh, that's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, now I'm just drinking a little hydration mix here, so I'm good to go early morning tomorrow, get back to the office.
There you go.
Max, we haven't had a wine night from you in the pod in a little while. You gonna get back on that soon?
I think I've just been more discretionary about it, you know.
Yeah,
put in the Tervis tumbler instead of getting my fancy $7 Costco glasses out.
Nice.
Yeah, but no, it has been a bit. I got to get a little bit better with tapping into some good beers.
Got to get better at drinking every night. Got to get
better at drinking on, you know, like Tuesday and Wednesday nights here.
This is hard doing them this late. You know, it's like I don't want to crack open my first beer at 9:30 on a Tuesday, Wednesday or whatever day it is. But, you know,
here I am.
Could be done. Yeah, well, you're working on a little different clock.
True.
All right, let's dive into some Q&A, and then we'll wrap up with some other interesting kind of recent fishing reports from Gus. So stay tuned for that after the Q&A.
All right, well, I'll fire us off with the first one here. I mean, 90% of these are fall fishing related.
Good.
And I think a good way to kick it off here, I think maybe we can go around the horn and share a quick story, but Brett Schultz sent one in. He's asking, boys need to share most memorable sucker fish and why. Who wants to start us off there?
Oh man.
It's a good question.
I
Brian,
mean,
I think you or Gus should lead us off here.
the
Yeah.
first, unf oh, sorry, sorry, Brian. I was just gonna say the first, you can definitely go, but I might have to think on it for a second. The first ones that pop into my mind are all sucker losses, because I don't think personally I've caught a big fish on a sucker, and I've lost some really freaking big fish on a sucker. So
You've
maybe
caught
give
some
me a
nice
minute
ones on
to,
a
hey, it
sucker.
doesn't have to be a catch, just
Yeah.
most memorable.
You've caught some blimps on a sucker. I've been in the boat with you when you've caught
Oh,
blimps
that's
on a
right. I forgot
sucker.
about that one.
I know your fish Rolodex is getting a little cloudy these days since you've been fishing so much, but I mean
Yeah,
I do know the
I
one
have
that
one
comes to
story.
mind. Yeah, the you know, BS story.
Which one's that now? Maybe remind me slightly. Oh, yeah. I got you. I got you. No. Yeah, I was maybe gonna fill in that one, but I have a good success story as well. But Brian, if you got one, dialed up.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, this is easily my most memorable for a few reasons. I feel like I don't know if I've caught a sucker fish in a little while now, but most memorable would be my first ever sucker fish. And am I wrong? Was that the first ever sucker fish in the boat for you guys?
Yes,
On the
correct.
chain, I don't
I think it
remember
was
how long
this
ago.
five years ago, long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean that was, I mean before we had a bump board, we were using, I don't know, a musky
Poles.
reel from like the 90s or something.
Poles to measure, yeah, Abu round reels. It was fun.
I think we had hit up tadpoles in Eagle River earlier that day, asking for advice sucker fishing our first time out. And he was like, oh, deep cribs, steep breaks. I'm thinking that was probably post turnover when I caught it. And
I don't think so, actually.
was it early
Now that I'm looking
October?
back, it
Maybe
was
right
early
before.
October. I mean, it was pretty gnarly cold
It was
weather,
cold. It was cold for sure.
but
I
it was
don't
early
know.
October.
I don't know how much the chain really. It's
Yeah,
hard to
yeah.
say. It was definitely slightly dirty-ish water. It was not clean, I do remember. Yeah.
At least not yet. But anyways, carry
Yeah,
on. Sorry, Brian.
we had ran, I think honestly, a specific drift that Tadpole put us on. Yeah, not too long in, I think we had
20
Gus
minutes
had
into the day.
yeah the Gus had known of a crib in like 15 feet of water off the steep shoreline, and I'm pretty sure someone had said like, oh, it's going right over the crib. I don't remember what kind of electronics you even had at the time.
7-inch Garmin screen, like the little one. Just a single unit.
And sure enough, like right as that sucker goes over the crib, it starts zinging. And I think we all kind of freaked out. I grabbed the rod, and I remember waiting on it forever. We waited, I don't know, it felt like an eternity. It was probably 30 seconds, and like we weren't sure if it still had the sucker or not. And finally, I'm like, screw it, and just reeled up the slack and just jacked it. And I mean, I think at the time, that was for sure my biggest fish. And yeah, we didn't have a bump board or anything. We got it in the boat. We quickly set it down next to another rod in the boat and tried to measure like to what eyelet it went to. We got back in at the end of the day. We measured the rod and we're like, oh, that was, you know, somewhere around 45. But yeah, I mean, to be total beginners at the time and catch, you know, a pretty big fish was special.
Yeah, that the level of excitement in the boat that day was hard to beat.
I still
Oh
remember
my
shaking
God.
like a leaf, because in that picture, it's a live picture, I think, and you can see the fish shaking because I'm
Shaking,
shaking.
yeah. It was nuts. One funny thing to add to that story, and I don't know if you guys remember this, we do not do this with our sucker fish, is when we first started, we did time slots. So from like certain amount of time, if a sucker rod goes off Brian gets it certain amount of time, I get it certain amount of time, Max gets it, and we'd have to fight over who gets like the moon phase or not.
Yeah, you got moon phase yesterday.
of course, that fish eats during Brian's time slot. I mean,
Yeah.
who'd have known?
Right. Yeah. But that was awesome. That was a great experience. But yeah, the one Max was referring to, which is still like a hunting fish to this day, that's a sucker loss. So Max and I were we maybe have talked about this story where we had a fish following our sucker for a good 20, 30 minutes, possibly more. I know it was for sure 20 minutes. And it was the down sucker or a very close bobber sucker, one of the two.
I remember it clear as day. If you want me to start us off here, and then you could take over from one.
Sure, that's fine. Yeah.
I mean, I still think about that. I mean, I remember it was the sucker that was off the back of the boat, just the down sucker, boat side. And when we saw that fish come up to it, we both were like, "What is that? Like that
It was
is
unknown proportions that
that
we've
a
never, ever,
muskie?"
ever seen before.
At that point, we were still, this was years ago too, where we still, at this point had, for the most part, really fished the chain. And like, Brian's 45-ish was a, very, very big fish to us. So seeing a fish of this caliber was like whole different ball game. Probably still would put that fish in the, well over 50-inch class Northern Wisconsin muskie. I mean, I don't, probably
I
put it at
haven't
the
seen
low end.
one. Yeah. I was gonna
Bigger.
say I haven't seen one even remotely close since.
Yeah, I
So
still haven't either. So that's where I'm kind of in the camp of in this lake has kicked out 52 plus inch fish in northern Wisconsin, and not to tip our hat that too bad here, but yeah, I mean it's a lake known for giants, and first time ever being on it, it's relatively clear water. We just poked our heads over and just see this mammoth muskie sitting behind the sucker. It followed the boat side one for about 20 minutes. Then it went away. And as we were changing spots, we reeled in the back sucker. Here comes this silhouette of a giant fish right behind it. Same fish. If you remember that, it followed the back sucker up
That's
to the
right.
boat.
That's
It just would
right.
not eat. It was high, bright sun, not really a breath of wind. We were sitting in about, 8 to 11 feet of water or something like that. We were up kind of shallow, and who knows what this fish was doing there, but we did that pass over and over and over again and did not see that fish until we were on the spot just as the moon phase started, just as some weather started to come in, the wind kind of started to kick up, and some rain started to come in. Moon phase, like I said, was just about to start, and I was actually sitting down in the back of the boat. With Gus and my dad, I think at the time we picked up our dad that day, and he was Gus and them were casting off the front, and I was either changing a bait or something or just taking a break, and I was sitting in the back of the boat, and I remember looking at the rod tip on the down sucker, start kind of freaking out, and I peer like poked my head over the side of the boat, and as I'm poking my head over the side of the boat, I just see that fish come up, and just I mean it just came and did this classic barrel roll T-bone. Rolled over on a jaws of life. That sucker just disappeared, and that fish just took off to deep water, instantly. And I'll let Gus cap it off, but yeah.
Sure. Not too far after, or sorry, not too long after that was followed by a hook set by me with a Abu round reel as our reel. So reeling at, just under somewhere around like 4.9 to 1 gear ratio there, and a 6 foot medium heavy Fenwick, I want to say. So flimsy ass, tiny rod that just wasn't going to drive the hooks home. I probably had a weak hook set, so all in all, not a hot start. Set the hook. I don't think this fish was on much more than it had to have been less than 10 seconds or something like that, because we got relatively close to it, set the hook, and I think we saw it fighting close to the boat, and I think it just let go.
Yeah, I never got hooks. Just
It
had the
never got
sucker.
hooks, just let go. And that was defeating. I think Max, you and I were able to get out to that lake one more time that fall, and I think our only excitement was a a loon took our sucker for a 100-foot ride and let go, and that was it. So,
Allegedly, yep.
yeah, that was, wasn't it? I
It was
remember
a
that.
loon. Yeah, it was a
Okay, I
loon.
was gonna say,
Yeah.
I thought I didn't want to get that story mixed up at all either. I do remember that. And already this fall, I've had a loon peck at a few of my suckers. Not grab them, thankfully, but definitely put a couple dents in them, which is a bummer. But one, I guess a quick story. I mean, I might as well, because I said I had another one. But last fall, I don't know if I talked about this at all, but Dad and I were out, and we were on a local body of water, and I knew where some fish were. We just kind of wanted to get on some fish. We didn't really want to do any travels, no looking for any new bites. You know, it's November, just kind of looking for some good solid sucker eats. And we go over this crib spot, and I'm watching the down rod goes off, classic sucker bite. I can't remember if it was in a moon phase or anything like that. So I lay into it, catch it. It was a tiger, and at the time last year it was my PB tiger. I think measured at 38 and a half, and we release it, all good, and still marking fish on the shoreline with these cribs. Turn around, go back and do it again, because I'm telling Dad, I'm like, yeah, well, if there's fish here, there's no reason to leave. So we get directly over the top of the exact crib, and the down rod, just as before, goes off again. And but this time it doesn't like zing out. I just see the rod just start slowly loading up, and the clicker's not going off, but it's on free spool. And I lift up and I'm like, Dad, I think there's a fish on it that just ate it and sat with it. And he's like, all right. I'm like, we're already over the top of it, and I can now feel it chewing. So, you know, set the hook. And he lays into it. I go to scoop the fish, and I'm looking at him like, oh my God, it's a tiger, and oh my God, it's another upper 30s tiger. Did we just catch the same fish? You know, scooped in the net. And I'm like, D and this was 40 minutes apart, you know, off the same crib. And I totally thought we caught the same fish the same day, because I've heard of that happening. And we throw that on the board, and I think I threw it on the board first to measure, and then Dad was going to grab it to pick it up and take a picture. And I'm measuring it, and it's like 38 and a half, and I'm just pinching the tail, and it's hitting three quarters. I'm like, wait, did I measure the first tiger incorrectly? You know, it's only a quarter inch difference. And then Dad took a picture, released it. I'm like, that's definitely the same fish. And I go back in the pictures, and it's a freaking different fish. A quarter inch apart, tiger, both tigers sitting on
Brother
the
and
same
sister.
crib.
That's wild.
Incredible. I've never seen anything like that prior to that or since. And yeah, and I don't have any good recent stories for myself, because I actually have not set the hook yet on a sucker rod this year. All been
Damn.
during trips. So at some point it'll happen. Definitely will be fishing late into November, so get my chances. But Max, what do you got?
Well, I just think for time's sake, we told some good stories. Let's keep rolling here. We got a lot of questions
Sure.
to get to.
Yeah,
Let's do that.
I got a little bit more specifics one here. Gus, you'll probably answer this best. So kind of a two-parter here. A couple guys that sent him in. The first one's from Hunter Petty, Petey. He says, if you can only run one sucker, what makes you choose between a float and running one deep? And then Gus, another question from Junkers19. If you can just explain what sucker rigs you use.
So for the question on if I could only run one sucker, if it's deep or out on a float, man, I mean, earlier in the season, if I'm fishing very, very shallow water, typically running one way out in this float, you know, pre-turnover becomes problematic if you don't set it correctly and you keep getting pushed up into weeds or pushed up into shallow structure, or say it's a windy day. It gets to be kind of a pain in the ass if that sucker gets hung up a lot. If I had only one early in the season, I'd probably prefer the down. And honestly, kind of looking ahead at post turnover, I'd kind of also prefer the down sucker if I was just doing one, for a couple reasons. I think pulling fish to the boat while casting, if they're not willing to eat a lure, I think they have a good shot at eating the sucker right away. So I like having it at the boat right there, and you can adjust it. And if you're changing your depths of water a lot, I also like having it at the boat so I can drop that sucker down to the bottom if need be, pull it back up to the top if need be, if we have a fish close, somebody raised one and it needs to find the sucker. So I pretty much always will run one right at the boat. And then, of course, if I'm running two, it's usually one at the boat and then one sometimes 30 feet away, sometimes 75 feet away. I've kind of so far been realizing if they are gonna eat the float sucker, further away, the better if you're able to. Then you gotta make sure you maintain speed, otherwise you can have a lot of slack in that sucker and then it's swimming around and sometimes gets hung up on itself on the harness. But that's kind of my quick roundup
Gus, real
there.
quick, before you tell them what kind of sucker rigs you run, if you just have one downrod sucker and say you're in like you're off a weed edge and 10 feet, both in 10 feet, there's no weeds. I know you said you move it up and down a lot, but how deep would you set it? I know someone else asked, how deep are you putting your downrod?
Oh, okay. In that scenario, if I'm in a off a weed edge in 10 feet of water, let's just say for this lake's sake, the clarity is 4 feet. And just after 4 feet, I can't see a lure. I'll put that sucker 5 feet down, right past visibility, especially if I'm casting, you know. I'd prefer to put it closer to the bottom once we get into early November or late October, lake dependent, you know, sub 50 degrees. You know, if we're working a steep break, rocks, cribs, I try to get that sucker down within basically 1 to 4 feet from bottom or from rocks or from cribs, something like that. So that's what I do there. And for rigs, recently on the smaller suckers, I've been using the Z leaders. I kind of like the little low profile look of them. The smaller sharp VMC hooks are very good, very easy to sharpen. I think I've had success in the past as well on, man, Shumway's. I think it's the Shumway rigs. Those are pretty good too. There's another one that's made locally. And I think, unfortunately, they're not sold at R&M anymore because that went out of business. But my good friend Louis Drager makes these sucker harnesses, and I think he still sells them at Last Cast out in Saint Germain. They're these like adjustable harnesses, mainly used for larger suckers, for any of the large suckers, you know, 14, 15 plus inches up to kind of whatever. You can adjust the leads off each side. So those are kind of the rigs I run.
Nice. I like that answer. Yeah. Especially talking about sucker depth. I wholeheartedly agree. I think since we've started to get a little bit more dialed in that, I think we've upped our bites, especially on that downrod sucker. I'm gonna step in here, Brian, just ask a few quick questions from our guy Grape Wake real quick. Obviously a always writing in some great questions.
Mr.
Just think
Big
these
Beast.
things I think these
He's
things
always
need to be
curious.
he's curious. I think these things need to be discussed. They're important topics in the muskie industry. He's wondering, is there a reason to get out on the lake still when it's cold and all the girls are gone?
That's I don't even know that that's the PG version of what he said,
And
but
then,
Jack.
two-part question to that. Do y'all have any questions for me in terms of how to work rubber baits?
All
So I'm
right. Well,
not
I mean,
sure if that's how Q&A quite works, Grape, but we appreciate you right
we will
there.
be hitting your DMs, brother.
Yeah, we'll definitely hit your line when we're in need some tips on how to work those big rubber baits. And as to your former part of that question, you make a point, but I will say, it's the best time of the year to be out there, biggest fish, beautiful colors.
You do
So a
make me
lot
wonder,
of
Jack. You make me wonder.
other beautiful things going out on the water this time of year. So let's keep it moving, but just had to address Grape's very hard-hitting questions there.
Right, I can keep us moving here. Maybe we can all kind of pitch in here, Gus, if you want to start. This is from Cam Den. Oh, excuse me, Cam Denglade. It's probably Camden Glade.
Camden
How do
Glade,
you?
yeah. Musky
That's
puke,
his name.
guys. That's the guy right there.
How do you follow
Or
up
fish
lazy
puke.
follows on dive and rise?
Jump in the water.
Yeah, go grab them.
Tackle,
Wait,
grab their
say that
paddles.
again.
Alabama snorkeling.
Say
How do
the
you
last
follow
part
up
about.
lazy follows on dive and rise?
Ooh. Man, that's kind of an ice cold killer right there. Never a
Grab a
fan.
shotgun.
Overall, never a huge fan of fish following lazy on any pull pause. I'm not gonna lie. I think if it's following lazy on a dive and rise, I would give it a good solid minute, not like an immediate cast back. You know, coming back within 10 to 20 minutes with maybe a blade. I think water temp dependent, still really any pre-turnover time frame, but once you get in the turn post-turnover time frame, my reasoning here on blades might not work as well in your favor. I usually don't do super hot on blades. This time of year, I've tried them a little bit and they just do not, they just don't cut it for me. But a lazy fish on diving rise, I guess this time of year, I just hope you got a sucker down there because should hopefully eat that if it's hanging around the boat.
The only thing
That's
I
it.
could really think of would be maybe to try kind of the pattern we found last fall, which is, I mean, they obviously are interested in a pull pause bait. Pull out a 12-inch Jake and kind of slackline snap it and get it to start
Oh, the
moving around
yeah,
erratically. See if
10-inch
that'll
Jake, you
trigger a
mean?
strike. Yeah, 10-inch Jake, sorry.
I feel you there. That's actually a really good answer. I'd say on that note, maybe switching
Nice job,
to a
Brian.
crankbait
Thank you.
wouldn't be a bad idea. Having a similar type of like dive and rise lure, because grabbing a crankbait that rises up after you rip it, but the crankbaits kind of glide a little bit. If you get one that walks a little left and right, it might trigger a strike a little bit more, because usually a dive and rise lure, especially if you're just looking at a suic, is a little more, I don't
Too
know how to put
methodical.
it. Yeah, I mean, it
Need
depends on
some
how you're
action in
working,
there.
but yeah, that it's not doing a lot. As people know with the suics, it's kind of the power of nothing. A bait that really truly doesn't have a ton of belly roll. It walks a little bit, but it gets fish to go. If they're not going on that, which I guess I would equate suics to doing really well in tough bites, I would switch to something with a little more wobble. So a crankbait or some sort of dive and rise lure, like well, we'll get into it a little bit more, but our good friend Nick's hammer jerk, that thing's got some wiggle in it. The rise is totally different. You can adjust the weights, so little on that bait for
Plug.
later, but a little plug on Hammer Customs.
Is that what it's called? The hammer jerk?
He called it the hammer jerk.
Wow. Crazy
Talk to
name.
him. Yeah, think the last time I told somebody that that's the name, they didn't hear me right away and they said the hamburger. I'm like, no, the hammer jerk.
All right, Max, you got some questions teed up?
No, I do not
Okay,
actually.
I
So
can
keep it
rip
rolling.
another then. This is from Tyler Eggenberger. Shout out. He is asking for our go he's asking for our go-to sucker names or sucker name we've used in the past or a sucker name we're gonna use over the
Oh yeah,
battle.
I got one for this.
Let's hear it.
You got one right away? Or send it
Yeah,
off.
my personal favorite, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis,
Wow.
the law firm. Old Cincinnati Bengals running back, just built like a shit brick house, absolute freight train. You start getting those suckers up, past 12 inches. First one that hits the water is always going to be named Ben Jarvis Greenhouse for me. The law firm served me well in the past. Typically, that sucker is, going to give you 20 carries for 70 yards, touchdown on the good days. You just kind of a three down back.
He's
Can play
reliable.
him, yeah. Swiss Army knife out there. He's not going to break off the 25, 30 yard, highlight reel runs. He's just going to get you 3 yards of carry. He's
He's
going
going
to be
to chip
down
away at that
there.
D.
He's going to be
Yeah.
chipping away. He's not going to be down there doing belly rolls, doing cartwheels and stuff to entice those muskies just all day. He's just down there doing what
And
he's
he's a
supposed to be
locker room
doing.
guy.
Blue guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, for sure, if I had to pick one of many great ones, it would definitely be Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, the law firm.
That's a good pick.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a tough one to follow up, honestly. Trying to look at or think about the sucker names already this year. We had a good first outing of using suckers. We did get one the first day running them, and the guys I had in the boat ended up naming them after ex-girlfriends. So that was pretty funny. You know, got them eaten, and I think it was Jocelyn that met her demise.
Oh,
So poor Jocelyn out
later,
there.
Joss.
Yeah.
But and also another recent one that was pretty good. I had a father son, and I asked the son John, you know, what do you want to name the sucker? And I was getting out a freshie because the one I started with was I think a day prior sucker, and it just kind of wasn't cutting it. And he's like, you know what? I'm gonna call this one Musky Catcher. I'm like, wow, that's, I'm like,
Creative.
that's it's so obvious it just might work, and it worked. I know.
Maybe that's the ticket then.
Brian, if you're gonna
Well,
name a sucker after one of your ex flings, who would it be? I mean, I know she ain't listening, so
no, we
never
don't need to get into
mind.
that.
We don't need to pull the personal life
No,
into here.
no. Just let me answer the question. I want to answer it.
What do you got?
I was just thinking back to some of our past ones. We've done a lot of athletes. I think Gus, you had named one Tyreek at one point for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, he was a quick one.
Yeah, he had a
Yep.
lot of spunk to him. Trying to think of what other ones we've done. I know when Grape was up there with us, maybe a fall or two ago, we had two suckers out the back. One was of the name Scorched Earth, and the other one was Euphrates Iron Staff. Gave him some badass names to get out there and, you know, wreak havoc, and I don't think they did.
No, they didn't do jack shit.
Scorched Earth is an
Yeah.
insane name.
Scorched Earth.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good shit.
All right, I had another one here. Top five fall baits. We
Who's
could go
asking? Who's asking?
oh, sorry, this is from Mel Bim Double Zeros.
Probably just Melby M double
Shout out
zero.
Melby M.
Melbim.
Shout out Melby M.
Shout out.
Let's just go. Let's do our top five, but we'll just rotate, sort of like a draft. So someone starts us at one, someone picks number two, or you know,
Like,
whatever order.
you want to do a snake draft?
Yeah, except we don't come back around.
Once it's picked off the board, it's off though, or what
Yeah,
do
yeah,
we?
yeah. Yeah. I'm not
Ooh,
just
it's
gonna
gonna
go
be
down the
hard
line
to.
and say
This is kind
Bulldog,
of
Bulldog,
spicy.
Bulldog.
This is spicy. Could we do wait, so what do you ask? Top
Top five.
five. Should
Yeah.
we? That's a lot to keep
Oh, we're
track. Are we able to do
no,
that?
no, no, no. I was
Let's
saying
do
no,
a
I
snake draft with top two lures.
all right, that makes sense.
Yeah, snake draft. Sorry, I'm always switching the people's question, but just for time's sake, top two lures, snake draft, all three of us.
Maybe an
Gus, you got
honor
the.
one honorable mention possibly.
No.
But all
Oh.
right, damn. All right. Just like between all of us, one that maybe we missed.
For is this for fall fishing or just for?
Yeah, for fall baits.
Okay, fall baits, gotcha.
Gus, you
Ooh.
go.
All right. If I get the number one overall pick, it's pretty damn easy. It's going to be a Red October tube, hands
Oh,
down, off the
damn.
board.
Ah.
All right, who's up next?
Oh man, Max, why don't you go here?
I get the second overall pick.
Yeah, I'll let you on
Wow,
the
stuck him in the
turn.
middle. All right.
Damn, I'm just trying to think. I'm hoping the bait I want is gonna come back to me because I know Brian's got two picks, so I'm trying to think what Brian is also gonna take.
Interesting. Adding some fantasy football mindset going in here.
Yeah. Damn, because I don't want two baits in the same category. So I'm just gonna go with the staple, man. It's caught a lot of fish for us in the fall. It's pretty much always on the end of one of our three rods throughout the day during a fall trip. And I'm just gonna go with the regular Medusa. Been good all year.
Solid.
Fall
Solid pick.
time, getting that extra hang, with those three tails. Still be crazy if somebody built a
What
bait
about
with four of
four?
them, but I mean, with those three tails, it just gives that extra hang. It's just they're fish catching machines, there's no doubt about it. Staples. So yeah, number two overall pick off the board is gonna be a regular Medusa.
All right, I am going to also pick, sort of a glue guy, locker room guy in the bait box, something that is, almost always on one of our rods, or at least throughout the day is, and that would be the mag dog. Just over-reliable, really. Yeah, can never go wrong with it. Confidence bait for me. And then to make the turn with a fourth overall pick, man, I'm torn here. I'm torn between a couple. Got to pick one.
Tough, tough, real tough.
I'm
Better
gonna
not
go,
take
and
mine.
this is more so what I'm looking forward to throwing. But I'm looking forward to throwing a little bit more of a 12-inch dive and rise,
The
and either a
Bobby?
Bobby, and or Frankensue, something like that.
Is the
I'll put those
Frankensue
together.
12 inches or 14 inches?
14.
14, that's what I
Bam.
thought.
It's a big
Oh,
one.
man. I was
Back
hoping
to
you
you,
were going to
Max.
take one of mine so I didn't have to choose. But yeah, I'm going to go with I'm going to go with the 10 inch Jake.
Yeah, that's what I was
Love
debating.
it. Yeah, I think it's a great bait in the fall for a handful of reasons. I think one is obviously that you can hang the bait in areas that you want, it to be hung in. It's got a great action. If you can, if you rip it fast, it kind of glides around pretty nicely. But even in the fall, some of those slow sweeps, you can kind of work it down breaks. And then just kind of have that slow rise. But yeah, that's also just been a fish catching machine for us when the water starts to get a little colder. Some of those hard baits have just really started to shine, especially on days where they're not going on rubber. Putting on a 10 inch Jake, you might be the only one in the boat to catch a fish that day. It's just one of those baits I feel like that you can kind of grind out fish on, especially during like a tough fall bite.
I dig that. I think you guys kind of covered basically my favorite for a crankbait or a dive and rise, pretty much. The Suic or the Jake for either of that category. So I had this one in mind. I got to do it because it probably has caught the one of the most amounts of fall fish for us. That just popped back into my mind is the shallow meg swimming dog. Very, very versatile.
I can't believe you didn't go beaver.
I just, that could be an honorable mention. It's not as consistent as I'd like it to be, I guess, is my only, I've got on some pretty gnarly, awesome bites with that, and then all of a sudden I'll go a month of nada with that one, where the swimming dog kind of shines out here in the fall. And the reason I picked the shallow one is sometimes add a little bit of a bell sinker on that front hook sometimes, but that slow fall and that freaking wobble of the shallow ones is kind of to die for those fish. You just count it down and you just slow retrieve that thing at the depth you want it. Every once in a while, give it a pump, and I think it's probably caught some of the most amounts of like late October and November casting fish for us. So,
True. It really has. That bait has actually been a total stunner. So just to recap here, we got Gus with the shallow swimming dog monster
yes.
size and the Red
Or
October tube.
Meg
Hey,
size.
not monster, my bad.
No, we ain't. No, we're not talking about the 1.5 pounder. But I will be breaking that out.
I was at Thorn Bros this week and they had a whole wall of the pound and a half or the May or the monster, whatever you call them,
Monsters.
monster swimming dogs. And I'm just like,
Monster.
why the hell did we ever buy one of these things? These are so ridiculous.
It's
Like we
sick.
it is pretty sick. So Gus went Meg regular swimming dog or
Yeah,
shallow
Meg
swimming
shallow.
dog,
Shallow.
Meg shallow and Red October tube. I have the regular Medusa, the 10 inch Jake, and Brian had the
Mag
Bulldog,
dog.
Mag Dog, and Brian had the
Ryan, you
Mag
get
Dog
this?
and a
You get the
12 to
next one?
14 inch dive and rise bait. You got to make a decision whether it's the Frankensuke or the Bobby bait.
Bobby.
Okay, so we're gonna put a poll up on Instagram and you guys can vote on who won the bait draft for late fall lures. Sorry, that
If
was
we can
really hard for
remember,
me to
if we can
that
remember
was
by then.
that was tough. All right, carry on.
All right. I just got a quick hitter here for Gus, and then we can I got a good one after that to bring us all back in. But Gus, this one is sent in from Steve Vincent 2044. Must be a time traveler. Would
Hello.
you use blades this weekend, i.e. double tens? Take it away.
Saying double tens, you might have just said it right there. If I'm going to use blades, they're at minimum going to be tens, large, so I can slow roll them. There's a lot of blades out there that you just can't slow roll. Like if you slow down too much, they're not going to stop. The blades are going to stop spinning. And just those double tens are perfect, depending on if he's a cowgirl or, any similar bait. I might not be the perfect person to ask. I don't have a ton of late fall blade knowledge there. I use them, I just haven't figured out that bite. I just typically prefer the jerk baits, or if I'm going to straight retrieve something, it's going to be the swimming dogs. And if I'm going to use a blade at all, it's going to be incorporated with a tube to slow down the fall. But I think you should try more like 10s or 13s, like double something. I'd be curious if you do try some sort of stagger, let me know. I don't know if they want that much more grinding, if they want just a simple, slow, easy meal. But I wouldn't be afraid. We have a little bit of a warm-up coming up here, so I think that could actually could call for a possible blade bite. And honestly, I might be running some sort of Cannonball Junior or Flaptail coming up shortly, maybe at low light.
Hey-o.
So if something goes after, yeah, I know, getting Brian a little excited there. I know I'll be throwing that for the battle, but if they're going on topwater still, I don't see why they wouldn't be going on blades yet. And they're going on topwater just last week, so we had one cold snap since, and it's kind of heating back up, so I could see it happen again.
I got a few questions, Brian. If I can take us away here just for a few. These are some quick ones. Our boy Phil out of Green Bay asks Phil Stola, "What's
Shut
up?"
up. Shut up, Phil.
He asked a few good ones, but I'm just gonna ask this one because I think it's a pertinent question for coming up on some colder weather. You guys, what's one deal breaker of a cold weather gear item that you just have to have if it's cold out? He said mine is his hand muff. I will start out by
Ooh, hand
saying
muff.
a
Nice.
very nice pair of insulated bibs is the most crucial thing to have during fall fishing. It is the best. It's the best investment. I think I had some kind of knockoff bibs, and then a couple of years ago I switched over to the Sims. Can't remember which ones they
Challenger?
are. Challenge series. I don't
I think
know.
just the Challenger, yeah.
Yeah,
Insulated
Challenger. Yeah,
Challengers.
Sims insulated Challenger bibs, and those. Yeah, just a total game changer. Could not imagine fishing cold days without them. Just makes everything that much more bearable. As Brian has said, it feels like putting on a suit of armor out there. So, yeah, that's one thing I have to have bibs. I see people out there freezing their, rear ends off, and they're rocking, either just like snow pants or, jeans and some insulated
Jeans.
pants or something with like a big coat on. And I'm just like, how are you doing that? I need to have the bibs.
I've definitely seen
Yeah.
that look out in the boat a lot where they got the freaking big old marshmallow jacket, and then you just look
Yeah.
down, they got the pencil leg jeans on. It's like, dude,
Yeah.
put some bibs on. It's blowing like 20 from the north,
Just looking
dude.
like freaking Gru from
Yeah,
whatever.
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, just big wool beans. Yeah.
The Minions movie.
I would agree though. I mean, when I got insulated bibs, I mean, they're expensive, but it is a game changer out there. And I've gotten flamed for it, but my favorite part about those is the knee pads. You can just drop down, get down and dirty, and it's super
Dog.
convenient, super nice. Especially when you start getting some ice and snow on the ground, they are
Yeah,
awesome. One of my
second
favorite
that.
pieces of clothing, honestly. I'd like to wear it more if I could.
Just out in
Right.
general. Go to the
Yeah,
store
I'm
and
up in the
like you
bird
gotta
with
grab something on the bottom shelf, and instead of having to
it.
bend over, just drop to a quick knee.
Slam down on the knees.
So versatile.
Yeah. But no, if I just switch it up, and I'm probably going to be looking to invest in some new ones here pretty soon, just reminding myself, a good pair of boots is crucial. You never want to have cold toes.
Good call.
Insulated, plenty of grams, need it. Sweet. So you said boots. I was gonna see where you're gonna go there, because I think one of the probably the most important part, is your hands. That's, hands and toes are the first to get cold. So boots for sure. Good pair of boots. Toe warmers if you need them. But for hands, and what I do is I pick up. I mean, you can kind of get them anywhere. A lot of companies make them, but basically fingerless wool gloves. Need the wool, because your hands are gonna get wet from, eventually the line or whatever you're doing, because you're handling suckers or, hopefully catching fish. Things are gonna get wet. So fingerless wool gloves, gotta be wool. Make sure you bring, I usually always bring two pairs a day if it's gonna be really cold. And then if it's like super cold, one little trick I do is buy those like giant mega mitts with just like a stupid amount of room that are really easy to slip on and off, that you probably would never wear anywhere else except maybe a Packer game at Lambeau. Is throw a hand warmer in there and just like kind of stuff those away to the side, and every time you move spots or need to warm up, you just throw those mega mitts on, and they're freaking cooking like an oven in there, and your fingers are back to being good. And honestly, with the wool gloves, it starts to dry them off on the inside of there. It's that's been a game changer for me.
Speaking of the Packers, I don't know if I was going to ask this question, but now I'm going to just because it got brought up. David Dykowski, our guy, excited to see you next week if you're listening at the battle. But he asked, would you rather, I'm not even looking at the question, but something along the lines of, would you rather catch a
I got it right here.
45 pound Wisconsin muskie or have the Packers win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's a
That's
really
exactly
good
what he
question.
asked.
Wow.
Yeah, I
I
don't
was
know. I
about to
should,
answer it
of course.
immediately, but like, what's more or less likely? Should we discuss that?
Probably Packers winning the Super Bowl is more likely.
Yeah,
Yeah.
honestly, these days, unless you fish the right body of water every single day for the entire fall, and it's still not guaranteed within maybe 5 years of doing that. So,
Yeah, that's a tough question.
wow. Because a 45 pounder up here is going to be minimum low 50s and probably minimum 23 inch girth, 24
I'm
or
a
more.
diehard Packer fan, and this is so easy for me. It's a 45-pound Wisconsin muskie. I mean,
Yeah,
you have that for your whole life. Like, we've been,
that's
you know.
big. That's true. I think I would answer there too. That's kind of what I was siding with, but I was kind of trying to think about it for a second to see if there was any reason to have like a pros and cons of each. But
I
I
mean,
think
I'm
45 pound
thinking
muskie is my answer.
my twist to the question is you pick one or the other. If you don't pick the Packers winning the Super Bowl, you'll never experience it in your life, and vice versa. Would you change yours then, Max?
I mean, I, man,
They're
that's an
never going to
interesting
win unless you pick them
caveat.
now.
That's an interesting caveat because then every year I would know watching every single game, no matter
Yeah.
what happens, that they're not going to
Yeah.
win the Super Bowl. It would really take some enjoyment
Or,
out of it for me.
yeah.
Or
But in
every
the
time I go out.
fall, could you
But
at least
here's
catch
catch
a
a
40
40
pounder.
pounder?
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's the thing.
Yeah.
If you change the question to never winning a Super Bowl or never catching a 45-pound muskie, I would pick the. I would want the Packers to win the
Yeah.
Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's where I'm at, probably.
Gotcha. Yeah,
Interesting.
I think probably the same if you kind of reword it like that. But originally, yes, easy answer, 45 pounder all the way.
Let
Brian,
me
what do you got
ask.
dialed up? Or Max, you got one?
I got one more, and then I'll turn it over to Brian. I can see the wheels in his head spinning over there, looking at all these questions. Another quick hitter, very pertinent one. I'm going on the non-tactical one, so I'm letting Brian handle the more muskie specific ones. But our guy Aaron out of the East Coast, shout out.
Shout out.
He asked, I would like an answer to the question that plagues muskie fishermen. Is it or is it not a good idea to use a grip and grin photo as your Tinder profile picture?
On, say that again. Is it not a good idea?
Is it or is it not a good idea? Is
I
it or
mean,
is it not?
brother man, it depends what you're after.
I think that's well said. That's well said. That's,
You're gonna
all
catch
right.
some eyes with a muskie pig's a profile pig, but I don't know what you're after, man.
As well said. All right, you got another one for me.
We got
Just leave out
another one
Brian's
here
answer.
from Grape Wake. Gus, Grape Wake wants to know how many live scope units you're running this fall.
Probably between like 6 and 12,
Okay.
honestly.
Each
Getting
side.
a full 360 of the boat. Thanks, Grape. Just
All
blown me
right.
up.
Yeah. He's just curious. He's always curious.
True, true, true.
This question is from Dux42, DUX, that is. Shout out. He wants to know, how does your approach change when temps start to rise during the fall,
Ooh.
which is probably this weekend, huh?
Good
Yes,
one.
it is. Yes, it is. Honestly, it's going to be tackling those windows that are most predictable, and that is going to be moon, by far, and probably looking. So this time of year, it starts to get way more important than I'd say summer. Obviously, always finding bait is where you're going to find muskies, but typically this time it becomes a little bit more obvious on your sonars. And I have been starting to take a little bit extra time when I get to a lake, say maybe it's a lake I haven't been to in a bit, and look for where that bait is. And even if it's a solid spot I have had in the past, might not be good that year because the bait's not on it. So kind of what I'm getting at is usually a little warm up in the fall can be a little bit difficult. So if you find where the bait's stacking up, I'll kind of try the deeper edge, and also getting kind of right up in some shallow, junk of that spot, whether it's super shallow rocks or super shallow weeds, trying to get baits through there and slowing it down at first and kind of seeing what comes on out of there. See if you can get them moving on anything. See if you can get them up into the sucker. But usually in a warm up, you get a lot of sun, so honestly, a lower light like a morning or right into dark, or if you're able to withstand it, go into dark on those, I think would probably be a little bit more in your favor on a warm up this time of year.
I like it. Yeah, I mean, it's always tough when it gets warm in the fall. But it should be no, I mean, it shouldn't dissuade you obviously from ever going out. I mean, you still can get that giant, fish. It doesn't need to be your classic
Yeah.
fall fishing conditions. I mean, I still think back to probably, one of the biggest fish I'd ever hooked on the Eagle River chain was during an extremely warm fall day. That was actually probably this weekend of October. I think it was either the second or third weekend of October, and it was so hot out. My buddy was, I mean, essentially tanning on the back of the boat that day when we were dragging suckers. And I casted a bulldog for fun up into like 3 feet of water and hooked a giant, giant muskie, and obviously ended up losing it. But I just think back to that, and like, I think when it gets warm, you just got to start. It feels like you kind of just got to start trying. Like you're saying, I mean, the windows are probably going to be pretty tight on those types of
Yeah.
days. They're not going to be easy, but there's still that possibility. I don't know how much that helps from that one random story, but it's like for me, it's just kind of thinking a little bit outside the box. That day we were rolling suckers out deep, and the one thing I did remember about that spot was it was some of the, last kind of greenish or best weeds that were left on that shoreline.
Yep, that's
So
definitely what I was
still,
going to add too,
yeah,
is
still
green
honing in on
weeds.
those green weeds that are left, are still areas that clearly muskies are gonna, always hold
Yeah.
in.
I mean, the chain can sometimes have some anomaly fish. I mean, yes, definitely a warm up can push a couple fish like super shallow, like stupid shallow, not where you'd typically expect them in October. But yeah, usually the deeper weeds hold some of that oxygen and greenness to them, and the shallower ones that come up early in the year are going to be the first to die off. So more times than not, it is the deeper weed edge or some of that fringe weeds out in the mud is where I've seen a few fish in some tough conditions. And once you find fish, I think the common saying is more prevalent than other times is if you don't leave fish to find fish. You know, if you're on a couple fish and the bite is really tough and it's warming up, just stay in that area. You know, don't overpound it, you know, because you can sometimes overpressure a spot and maybe they don't come back, but intermittently go back and keep trying it, especially at low light, sunset, sunrise.
For sure. All right, Brian, you got a few good ones for us?
I'm starting to wind down on some of my favorites. We've got a couple more situational ones.
While you're looking, let me just ask this one real quick from our buddy Kyle Fridges. Also excited to see him. Hopefully get out of the boat with him here soon. By the way, he dropped an awesome video on
That was
YouTube. Yeah,
sick. That's right. Freaking dialed that thing up
really,
before
really,
bed the
really,
other night.
really well done. So shout out Kyle. If you guys have a chance, check out his YouTube channel. I believe
Cabbage Dragon Media.
formerly known as Cabbage Dragon Media, now known as Beyond the Eight, I believe.
Yeah, has it changed on YouTube? I haven't really.
I think it was still Cabbage Dragon like as of a
Yeah.
few days ago, but
The video popped up for me because I originally searched Cabbage Dragon Media and it came up.
Okay, so
But
he just dropped a video 4 hours ago. This is the end, and I haven't watched it yet, but I would assume that's the end of Cabbage Dragon Media and the introduction of Beyond the Eight.
yeah. And we'll get him on to kind of explain the direction he's going to go with his channel and whatnot. But I think essentially the video, series that he's doing is his Eagle Lake trip that he takes every year. He was up there for 2 weeks and documented it. Really kind of showed a very cool side to it. Very talented guy. But anyways, he asked, when is Brian joining the PMTT to take the Manti boys down?
Whoa. And who's gonna be your partner? Anybody in the world, pick anybody.
Pick anybody. I'll go Kevin, get Kevin Van Dam. I'll hit
All
him
right,
up. He'll join me.
KVD and Brian
No,
Eccles to the stage,
I don't
please.
know. I think it'd be fun to do it at some point. I mean, it is a big commitment with all the traveling and, you know, depending on how many days you want to pre-fish. I don't know. It doesn't fit too nicely into the schedule right now. Maybe when I get a boat or something, if the time's right, I'll do it. But definitely would like to at some point let these guys know that, you know, there's some people out here who can catch some damn fish.
Sure.
Sure.
Oh, good stuff. All right, you
Yeah.
guys got some questions?
Yeah, we got
Brian.
another one sent in from Phil. Shout out again. Casting,
Hi, Phil.
trolling suckers. What's the most fun when you're catching? Second part of this question's cut off, but it says, and the most fun. I'm gonna guess he's
I
saying
think
when
it's
you're
a
not
skunk
catching.
emoji.
I'll start us off here. I mean, this is a pretty good question when you start thinking about it. I will say most fun when you're catching is casting. You know, it makes you feel like you know something. It makes you feel like you worked for it, you earned it, like you got the magic touch. Most fun when you're not catching. Casting makes you feel like you're doing something, makes you feel like you might have the magic touch. Glad you went
AKA,
first.
you hate trolling.
Hey, trolling. I don't mind suckers because you know it gets cold. You want to sit down, chill for a bit. You still got the suckers, but yeah, trolling not.
Gotcha. I mean, I'd agree 100%. Most fun when you're catching has got to be casting. I mean, I don't know if this was kind of more pointed in the direction of fall. If it's only fall, then I'd say suckers because the anticipation of not knowing what's on the end of your line and you get to just absolutely jack them with that hook
Reef
set.
on
Just be like,
them.
just oh, just you know, put some freaking oomph into that thing. And I'd say casting too, but the most fun when not catching, honestly, for me, because I know Brian, you wouldn't think the same, but I kind of have a detailed answer on it. It's got to be trolling, because typically sometimes when that happens, it's maybe when I'm trolling a new lake, and if you don't catch, I at least, do a couple things. It's mark a few, on side image, waypoint, and map out some pretty awesome deeper structure spots for late fall. So at least it seems like I'm doing something, even though I'm not catching. So at least I'm a little more prepared for next time. Where if I'm not catching and it's suckers, I do not like that, because all I can think is just like, why don't you fish eat this? This is literally part of your diet. This is a real fish. And it gets just a little infuriating when they're not taking that down. So at least trolling, it feels like covering a lot more water and feels like you're doing something when you're not catching.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would definitely agree with casting being the most fun. I will kind of actually differ from you guys. What the most fun when you're getting skunked for me is kind of suckers, because you're not moving. So you're out there, it's quiet, just enjoying nature. And also then you have the two, like every time the sucker rod starts to dance a little bit, or the bobber kind of moves around, or the sucker starts freaking out, you're kind of like, oh yeah, oh. And that happens
What
about, 115 times during the day, so
we got?
kind of keeps you engaged. But yeah, that'd be my answer.
True. Yeah, also, I mean, I don't know if you have any more, Brian, but I was just looking at some of them. It looks like Josh Gessler asked a very similar thing that we already answered. Just let him know that we got it. He asked the same thing, do you have success going shallow during fall warmups, water temp in the 50s? And yep, that was pretty much our answer to like that tougher time
He's
frame.
asking that because he's going out fishing this weekend. We're getting a big warm up. And
He
I might
wants to
be
know if
joining
we go
him.
shallow.
Yeah.
Don't be
Yeah.
afraid to go deep, Josh, if it's not working out though. At least give it a good honest effort though. Give the shallow bite a good honest effort.
Yeah. Well, Brian, you got any more that you want to ask? I'm starting to be good on the Q&A. Maybe clean up with a few last ones here. I did see Kyle also asked what the odds are for the muskie battle next week. I guess we should probably just maybe quickly talk about that. We'll be chatting all about it next week. But the muskie battle is a really cool event that's been kind of put on, and they shoot a very cool video on it every year. You can go back on YouTube and look at all the past events. So we're very honored to be invited and hopefully show up and catch some fish. But there's some teams kind of competing in it. It's just a friendly competition amongst some anglers. So kind of a cool deal that pretty excited for.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm totally looking forward to that. Definitely awesome of them to invite us. And it's gonna be a ton of fun. All three of us are going. Brian, I don't know if you're going on the first day or if you're able to make it or not, but nonetheless, can't wait. Some of the people that are gonna be there, looking forward to meeting them for the first time, and then some, looking forward to meeting or seeing again. Sorry, that maybe we just met at the shows or some other good friends. So looking forward to making some more memories. We'll talk more on it next week when we have our special guests that maybe we go undisclosed or no, sorry.
We don't want to jinx it, because every time we say we're going to have a guest on, we
Okay,
have to
fair.
reschedule.
Okay, that's why I was kind of hesitating there. I
There will
won't
be
say
no
it. Just
guests next week.
in
Yeah.
case.
All right, guys. We're going to be right back to some Q&A next week. Just
Got any
kidding.
more questions, guys? Come on, I got me some fall questions.
Anything else, Brian? Any other questions you wanna ask here, or should we get on to some northern Wisconsin fishing?
Yeah, I didn't see really anything that caught my eye there. A lot of them were overlapping questions. I think we did a good job of covering those.
We very much appreciate you guys helping us out on nights like this.
Yeah.
Q&As are a lot of fun. Every once in a while, good to do them.
It looks like Matt Vavrock has a question that probably just going to end up discussing a little bit here at the end, just with the most recent things that are happening here in the Northwoods, Vilsonita County area of Wisconsin is, what is your approach for turnover?
Oh
It's kind of
yeah,
a
we should do some turnover talk.
some
I
tea talk
saw,
here going on. The deadly tea. Watch out for it, because it can get you, can bite you in the rear, and
And that's
yeah,
that.
churn you up and spit you out. So, I'd say, of course, it's said in many a podcast, many a guides have said it, many of really anybody's said it, but avoid it at all costs. And if you're not able to avoid it, I'd say, man, I don't know. That's tough for finding. I mean, typically, still some sort of shallow bite, depending on the water clarity. If it's still, muddied up of some kind. I mean, if we're talking like less than 6 inch vi visibility in a lake that normally has, a couple feet or something like that, that's super tough. Definitely, I'd get off that lake, immediately. We've kind of had our hand in that one time. On accident, and we stayed too long. I think we overstayed by an hour or two or three. I can't remember on that particular day, Max, if you remember that one, like we went to the for the first time and we're like, we don't think this is what it should look like, or not what people
Yeah.
described.
I've never really had
All
much
tough.
success. I've been on lakes a few different times during turnover, and it's just, I mean, the best way to sum it up is it's just not that good. I mean, it's just tough. I'm
No.
sure there's probably some tips and tricks out there that you can absolutely try, but I think, just from fishing turnover days, it's not like we've been do, you know, we've gotten out on lakes and like we know that it's turning over or it's turned over, and sometimes we've stayed too long, or there's days that we like are fishing for there for a reason, and we'd like, not that we can't leave, but we're just kind of dead set on fishing it. And we've tried everything in the book, like whether it's going shallow, throwing big, throwing small, going deep, trolling, sucker fishing. So there probably are some tips and tricks. I would just say for us, we've struggled, but I think maybe you've had some relative success during turnover, but I know for me personally, it's always just been tough.
It kind of just does a full circle here, and I just, in simple terms, if you're dealing with some turnover or some kind of funk, I'll maybe like start it with water temperatures, because that's kind of a telltale. Turnover right around that 55 degree mark, and honestly, that's pretty true. But if you're on like the tipping point of just under that, that's when I don't see as much success at all. Recently on some lakes that we were just hammering a very good bite that was definitely pre-turnover. It was, falling from 60 degrees, and as soon as it just got under that 55 degree mark, it's totally just shut off. I don't know. I think that is kind of the absolute tipping point. So if it gets down to like that 53 and you got nothing moving, like no follows, maybe not even a side image, something that's, it might not even look like it in the water, but something's mixing, something's turning, and that's where I found it to be very, very tough. Recently we've been having some like 52 to 54 degree water, and that's just not super ideal. So I'm going to 100% start kind of finding, especially with this warm up, finding some smaller lakes that probably already had it happen, or shallow enough that they don't turn, is kind of my goal. Otherwise, there's some larger lakes that
Current.
been on. What's that?
Current. Find current.
Current. Yeah. No, I was, yeah,
Oh,
definitely
sorry.
getting to that. All
My
good.
bad. My bad.
But going to a larger lake and just kind of battling it out in the greenest weeds, some sort of pre-turnover pattern where you're kind of hoping that the last of the fish still there are still active before they turn into some La La Land funk during the terrible tea, the turnover. But like Max said, current, if you can find it. Unfortunately, this fall we are lacking it quite a bit. Last year we had plenty of it and found a very good bite. during turnover on finding current. But I'd say that's my biggest tips. I'm trying to kind of follow the trend here lake wise. Been doing well on medium to large lakes, and that's kind of slowing down, so I think I'm going to transfer down to small to extra small, or medium lakes that are shallow, and kind of wait until the large stuff is done, and then kind of go from there. Once it's post turnover, you're kind of in the clear. But this warm up is going to kind of put a turn in that, because everywhere up here right now is like 52 to 55, which is, it's not a good spot to stall out here in the
Sounds like it'll be fun
Northwoods.
this weekend.
Oh, man.
Sure.
I'm already worried about that for when we all come up next weekend. Like,
I'll be fine by then. The
yeah.
nights get colder, soon it's going to be in like the 40s, and highs in the 60s, which really isn't going to change the water temp too much.
I'm only worried because I feel like my last month and a half of fishing is if you can dial up the worst weather pattern for that day to go fishing. You bet your ass I'm free to fish that day. I mean, it's been clockwork. Like if I get a free day to go out and fish or get up north for the weekend, it's like, here's some 40-mile-an-hour winds from the east.
Lovely. I thought you liked
Or
working fish in negative to nooch conditions.
no, I don't. I would much rather have fish be jumping in the boat. That's you heard wrong. You heard wrong. That's not, I'm not you, I'm not good enough for that,
Just a little bit of finesse,
Not everyone can work baits like you can, Brian.
I appreciate that. Really
Yeah,
do.
no problem. I mean it super sincerely too, so
No, yeah, I appreciate that.
yeah, no, I know you do.
You ain't
All right,
lying. I
now
know
that you
that.
guys had your moment there, you just keep going back and forth saying the same thing.
You ain't
Brian,
lying.
you
He's
got any
not lying.
I'm
You got
literally
any
not
more?
joking. I'm super
Oh,
sincere.
no. Gus, he's being
I got
serious.
you. I'm being dead
You being serious,
serious.
Max?
Yeah, I'm no lies told here. Super jealous how Brian works bass.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, I got a
My
question though.
guy.
I got a question though. We brought this up.
Yeah,
No, we brought this
Jesus.
up. This question that came into my head, not from a listener asking. We brought this up, I think, last pod or two pods ago. Should we bring a fly rod in the boat for castbacks? That's lazy sucker fish for the battle.
Interesting. I
Just
mean,
put on the biggest fly and just see if it triggers.
I think the only reason that I think that could work is that when you kind of slap that lure down or put it down there, it's so subtle that I don't think it would spook them really at all. Like worst case scenario, you don't spook it and it's still following your sucker and doesn't eat. Best case scenario, it eats the
Sick
fly.
footage.
Happy ending. Sick footage.
Yeah, worst case Ontario.
Sorry, I forgot to fill in the old. Yeah, worst case Ontario.
I
Best case
agree. No,
Ontario,
I
good
think that's
thought.
awesome, Brian. I think you're the guy to do it too.
Willing to try. I mean, that'd be absolute chaos if it
That'd be
hit, but
awesome.
it would be
That would
sweet to
that's a good
see.
idea. No, I like that actually a lot. I think that would be fun to implement. Just see what happens.
All right, deal.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't have any other questions on my end, unless you guys do.
I think we can wrap up Q&A, get on to a little bit of Northern Wisconsin talk. Sounds like Gus has just been riding the ebbs and flows of fall fishing this year, which has been, man, this weather has been interesting and dry.
It sure has. Yeah, I've been still in need of rain. We got that good hard rain for 2 days, maybe. I don't know. It still just wasn't enough. But thank goodness, at least for the fall fishing. I mean, it's been absolutely fire. We've been getting nights in like 24 to 32 degrees, which is outstanding. That's what you want to see. You want to see the lake's kind of having that mist fog in the morning, starting to release that heat, and that's been pretty dynamite. But the past week or so of fishing has been incredible. Obviously now it's kind of dealing with turnover. I gotta kind of find a couple tricks up my sleeve to get some finicky fish to bite until it goes to post turnover. But man, this bite so far this October has really took a turn since our doldrums of 85 degrees and sunny in late September, when we were thinking that summer was never going to end. When's the shallow water pattern going to hit? And honestly, it freaking hit mid-October is when it hit. And all the fish that have been getting boated, they've literally just been shallow weeds. Like, it sounds like a cop-out answer, but it's very true. Like,
Right.
finding just bucket loads of bait in certain areas. I've been following the wind. If people have been kind of watching the wind, we've been getting it's going to switch to the south now once this podcast is out, but we've been getting just giant winds. And even when we get no wind or low wind, it's still been from the north or the west. So I've been hammering the south and east ends of lakes pretty religiously. And for the most part, it's because the bait has been getting blown into them right under the weed edge, right into the predictable areas. You don't have to really worry about fish being way too far in there or off the weeds or something like that. They've mainly been either within a half cast length of the weed edge on the outside or right on it, or been hitting actually a good amount of our casting fish we were catching or losing. We're in our first couple rips on jerk baits, a beaver tube, stuff like that, where they
When's
were
the
hitting
last
like
blade fish you've caught?
caught. I think it's been a bit, but last week we lost one on a Huntsie tail banger. It was a nice fish. It was around a 40, and it hit the client like 10 feet from the boat, never even got into the figure eight or nothing. And I don't think he was being shy about bringing that freaking bait in. And it was during moon. It was a midday moon. I think it was a midday major. And that fish, I think we were sitting in like 10, 12 on a shallow lake, and he had to have been casting up into some pretty sloppy weeds, if I'm not mistaken. The bucktail probably started in a spot that only had about 2 feet of clearance between the top of the water and the weeds and pulled it off of that. But that was last week. And that was like, I think that morning, because it was a shallow stained lake, after some cold nights, I want to say it was like 54 to 55, but it was like the first time it hit that time frame of, when I was saying like it starts to get a little bit tough. And I actually went back to that lake where it seems like that temperature settled in, and it was just completely shut off. I went the next day and we didn't mark a single fish. And that prior day we had action from, I think, five or six, and we managed to boat three on four bites. And the next day, almost the same amount of time, and didn't see a single fish. So that like completely shut down. But no, that was the last blade fish. And I know I put that swimming dog up there in my top two baits, but even that bait for me has been a little quiet yet. I don't know what it needs to fire that thing off again, but full pause has been dynamite, the best for sure.
Nice. Yeah, I was just wondering when that it's always interesting to look back and say, okay, when was the last fish you caught every year on a bucktail?
Yeah, for a while there, it's usually, for an eat or a lost fish or a catch, it was kind of right around like that October 1st to 5th, it seemed like. But with this year's weird warm up there, I think it extended that. So it ended up being, 5 to 10 days later than that. And like I said, I've heard plenty of stories right upon ice up on Cisco Lakes, people catching fish on double tens at like sunrise. So, I think we definitely will still be trying blades here and there, but I don't know. The dive and rise and river bite has been a little too solid for me. It depends if we got three people throwing baits, and you have the opportunity to maybe throw blades, it's worth a shot for sure.
Good to know. All right, fellas. Anything else we want to talk about here this evening, or we
Is it time to start the chatter, maybe potentially leak that there will be a merch drop coming up later, actually next year probably, or will be later this year?
It's hard to say because we're working on a different design with the hoodie because we want to come up with something pretty cool, even for those that have already gotten a mod hoodie. Of course, thank you very much for getting the first run. If we get enough feedback, still could have another run of those, and probably will for show season, as show season specials. To be sold there first and then kind of go on sale after that. But man, I said I would a long time ago, and I feel really bad. I was going to put hats on the website. I have pictures, I have everything to put on there, and I just haven't. I've been on a big time guiding kick and a lot of on the water, and when not on the water, a lot of either podcast,
Sleeping.
eat, or sleep. So,
Nothing
yeah.
wrong with that. And yeah, I mean, we're always open to hearing from you guys that listen to this. Like, if you do want to buy some merch, like what would you like to see? We're always open to hearing ideas. I mean, we kind of are going down a path that we think could be pretty cool. Like Gus said, he kind of, alluded to the fact that it wouldn't just be like a straight Muskies on Tap design. But it could be something a little bit
Still will
different.
have Muskies on
Yeah,
Tap on it and
right.
some
Right.
relevance of
Some
the logo, but just a cool
variation.
twist that I think all of you that listen here would love it, and maybe some outside of that would also like it, you know.
So we're just trying to brainstorm some ideas right now, but like I said, always open to getting feedback or hearing from you guys on what you're looking for. So yeah, I mean, Brian, you got anything else?
I got nothing else. I'm currently looking at some big bulky musky fly to order for the weekend, so I'm
Nice.
looking to gear up a little bit.
Nice.
Sweet.
I just picked up some new baits. I got that Eagle, that Thorn Brothers Eagle Medusa. That's pretty sweet. And got a
Nice.
Boggs custom tube.
Bugs.
That's
Ah, that won't catch nothing,
I think
dog.
it's
That
gonna be
color is
pretty.
dumb.
I think it's gonna be pretty killer. So,
I'm just
got
kidding.
it's my first time buying baits in a long, long time. So that was pretty fun, and I'll be definitely making probably a handful of purchases on Team Rhino this winter when I get bored and
Oh
have a
yeah,
few too
for
many
sure.
beers and
I
be ordering
love
stuff.
speaking of Team Rhino, Jeff Widman 100% fulfilled one of my recent orders. I bought planer boards. Some different ones to use, some smaller ones, just the normal offshore. And I think I have it right here. I'll read it exactly. It's definitely him. Thank you for this order, Gus. I hope your next order is more fun. Good work.
Out.
Appreciate shout out, Jeff.
Out,
I know that's
Jeff.
from you.
That's good stuff. Oh, I love it. All right. Well, Gus, you want to drop? Oh. Another addition here late in the pod. We are potentially gonna be putting out a Facebook page.
It's up.
What's
We'll
up?
invite people.
What's up?
What's up?
Facebook page is up, guys. If you are on Facebook, now I know not everyone's on Instagram. Might have been a little bit of an overlook on our part when we started this. Facebook group is gonna be up, hoping that it will be not a total shit show free for all, but a little bit more. I get what's the word I'm looking for here? Just kind of engaging as far as like being able to post and communicate with people on that.
Oh, are you saying like a group where others can post? Or a
Probably
page? Which
not.
are you thinking of? Because I made a page, which is just something like my guide service where you can like and follow, and
Yeah,
we post.
just a page is good. Just
Okay.
there's plenty of musky groups out there that other that
Yeah,
you
I was
can
gonna say there's
follow.
a lot of groups. I mean, we love you guys, we love you listeners, but yeah, we'll leave it at, DMs for getting in touch with us.
I don't need any. I don't need any
Running a
water tap,
Facebook
thanks.
group is yeah, we don't need a
Need to
water.
hire a moderator for that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no. Yeah, sorry, I kind of
Jeez.
got confused. And now that I'm 30, all social media is just foreign to me.
Oh, it's all good, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to get back into the groove of Facebook.
Yeah,
When I started to guide, I just kind of stopped using it for almost a decade, you know.
Right. Yeah, jeez, I know. But no, it'll just be another way for people to get in touch with us and communicate with us. 'Cause I just more so was trying to, what I was trying to say is I just know not everyone has an Instagram. So,
Yep.
Facebook will be live here shortly.
Yep. And that's
Salute.
at Muskies on Tap. Instagram is Muskies on Tap.
Right up.
Also can follow my guide service is at Suggs Fishing or Gus Manti on Facebook and Instagram. And you can find some more details on my website, www.suggsfishing.com. And get in touch with me. Get in touch with me if you want to get out later this fall. I still got some openings for you diehards in that late October and early November. After that, it gets a little more unpredictable. You know, more or less stay in touch with me if you'd like to get out any later than that. And just be prepared for any weather given. 'Cause there's some days where might just not make it out because it's just too damn cold, but definitely will try and get out as much as possible. So, a lot of fall talk tonight. Had a blast, guys. Good little Q&A catch up there. Appreciate you listeners tuning in and sending in those questions and all the support. Look forward to the next podcast next week. Fingers crossed if our guest, if we got him dialed in. So
Knock on
I think with
wood.
that being said, Brian, if you want to take us away.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Muskies on Tap. Shout
Jesus.
out to the two members on tonight. No interview, but we'll be back next week. Looking forward to a big matchup this weekend. We got the top two quarterbacks in the league, CJ Stroud, Jordan Love going head to head. The Texans coming to town to get their ass whooped coming up here shortly.
I'll
Looking
be
ahead
there.
here, guys. I'm going to be back at the boat here fishing. I did schedule a massage for tomorrow. I'm going to get my back in shape so that I can be prepared to set the hook again and not blow it out. I'm experimenting. The chiropractor didn't cut it, so now I'm on to massages, guys. Stay tuned for that. Peace.
People want to know, Brian, how do you talk so fast?
Used to be a rapper.